Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 319. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Hello.
And Fozzy.
Is it 319 or 320?
I don't know.
I thought we were 321.
320. Hello. It's 320. Shit.
Hello.
Now
hello.
I'm getting the episode numbers wrong.
Yeah, we did 319 last week.
Yeah.
Oh, that was last week.
We just got to get to 420, and then we just turn off the show.
When we get there, it's all over. Just have Jeff smoke up and call it a day. Jeff is here with us as well.
Yo.
And Pete's here.
Hey.
And we're going to talk No Man's Sky.
What?
Oh.
We're going to talk about space.
Yeah.
I believe in space.
I don't know. I know Tony hasn't played it. Has everybody else played it?
I have.
And Jeff, I know Jeff has played it. I don't know where Jeff went, but
yeah.
Jeff has played it. Pete, have you played it?
No, and I'm not going to.
Good okay. Man. Don't give him any money.
So three of us have played it. Jeff, you want to kind of like run down because I think you played it first. So.
Yeah, and I don't know if I've played it the most, but I've probably put at least 20 hours into it.
More than me.
In case people have been living under a rock, what it is a game where you gather resources and go explore space so that you could gather more resources and go explore more space. That's all that you do.
It's funny you say living under a rock, and I don't, like, because, like, if you were paying attention to this game up until the moment you put it in your console, you thought it was something different.
I don't know that I did. I thought it was a space exploration game, and that is kind of is what it is.
All right. So
well, but that's not what you described. Like, it sounds almost like resource management than exploration.
I mean, they go hand in hand. That's all you're doing though.
So Pete, what did you
anyways
think it was before it came out?
I didn't know what it was. I knew it wasn't.
I think
what...
that's the big issue here, right?
I knew it wasn't going to be what everyone in the industry seemed to have thought it was going to be, which was like the game to end all games and, like, you know, infinite replayability. And it wasn't the trailers that they showed in 2014 when the game was announced either, and all that stuff. Like, the hype had completed the loop at that point, and it was just like, there's no way this is going to be what it wants. And then when it came out and it was what it was, like, it's hard to be shocked by that.
All right. So what it is, basically what Jeff said, like, it is get some resources, get yourself in your ship, fix your ship, go explore, get more resources so you can continue to explore.
That's it. That's what you're doing.
So from what I've noticed is that, like, from what the streams I've watched and I've read, I have read so much on this game because it is like a really fascinating event in the industry. I don't understand what the point of a game is. Like it's not like Minecraft where, like, you're building stuff and then you're, like, gathering resources to do, like, new things and, like, there's, like, a progression. This just seems like I build more stuff so I can go to a planet that is roughly the same as the planet I was just at. So then I can build more things and then go to a planet that is roughly the same as the one I was just on.
With variations.
Am I wrong?
And with... No, that's what
okay.
You do. With a general goal being that you're supposed to go to the center of the galaxy, I guess.
But sure. From what I've heard, that is, like, that's the Atlas storyline, right? That's what guides you towards the center of the
what's
universe?
That's what's... it fucking aggravates me
so
about
there's
the game.
There's two different things about it. There's the Atlas storyline, which is this kind of... it's this guided quest, almost.
Yeah.
But then, like, the actual purpose is, like, you don't have to do that. But there's still the goal of trying to get from wherever you started to the center of the galaxy.
Okay,
but the Atlas is not the story version of that quest?
It's a story. It's not the story version of that quest.
No, but the impression I get is you want to do that.
Yes, the thing that pisses me off is the game does very little purpose.
Actually, I've seen. I know what the end of that quest line is, and it's bullshit. Basically, like it's like the largest cop out I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I've
what it is too. Yeah, I don't know. I just find it kind of crazy how the game tells you your purpose is to go to the center of the galaxy, and then anyone you talk to online is like, "No, you gotta do the Atlas quest," and I'm like, "How the fuck am I supposed to know that?" Like,
yeah, because if you don't,
why is that like, the thing? If that's the thing, tell me that's the thing.
Well, so the reason they do it is because that you're hearing that is because people have already reached the center, and in order to actually finish the game. Like, in quotes, you need Atlas cores, which you can get much easier by accepting the Atlas cores, because it just tells you where they all are.
Yeah, otherwise you have to buy them for large sums of money.
Okay, I would be so fucking pissed if I got to the center of the galaxy, and they're like, nah, you really had to be going after these Atlas zones. Like, I would just fucking break the disc. Like, I would be so fucking mad.
Here's a question, Jeff. Do you think you will reach the center of the galaxy?
Thank God someone told me.
Do you think you will reach the center of the galaxy?
I'll tell you this. If it does not happen by the time Deus Ex comes out, I highly fucking doubt it.
That'd be about 4 days.
This is why I didn't even buy the game. This is why. Exactly this reason.
I will say I am getting these Atlas stones at an accelerated pace now because I've upgraded my hyperdrive. So I could... Let's say the Atlas Stone is 4 or 5 star systems away from me. I can go straight to it. Like, I don't have to go to each star system on the way. So I'm getting them. Like, I could get, you know, one every half hour if I want. Like, so I might get there, and then I have a feeling when I get there and all said and done, I'll be like, that's it.
And that's exactly what everyone else has said it is.
Yeah. I can say that I had this game at a certain price point in my mind, and then as I watched Chris play for several hours, and the only thing about that experience that entertained me was me making fun of Chris while he was playing.
Well,
at that price point, dramatically declined as that time went on.
And I think that's part of the perception problem that the game is and the developers are dealing with at this point is like. Everyone expected some AAA game that was made by 15 people, and like at that scale, that is just impossible.
Yeah, but if you figure like everyone expected, yeah, okay, that's not what this game is. But there's a reason people expected that. Sony really pushed the marketing on this game.
It wasn't just Sony.
It was
man.
Out there a lot, and then they delivered it at a $60 price point, which says this is a AAA experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, I don't think it's just Sony's fault. I think it's also a lot of what Sean Murray was saying when he was out there. And, like, Molyneux level promises.
Yes, I was about to say he's the new Peter Molyneux.
Like, he promised so much, and so much of what he promised is not available in this game.
Yeah.
I will say, though, I at some point, I can't really fault them. And I think they did I'm going to be probably an outlier on this. Like, they did a good job with the marketing because when I went to go buy this game, it was fucking sold out everywhere, dude. Like, it's selling incredibly well despite reviews. So
yeah, well, that's because everybody thought it was a game that it isn't, and the reviews are now reflecting the game that it is.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah,
is that
and
the
it's still sold.
There were no reviews on launch day.
Yeah, there were no reviews for a couple days after launch day, actually.
I did not go buy it until, I think, the Friday after it came out. And it was sold out everywhere. And, you know, maybe that was from that initial shipment. But, and you know, maybe they all sold out on Tuesday. But whatever. Can you fault them, though, for tricking you?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can say, okay, I will never buy another game that you make ever again.
Yeah, I mean, like, if we can fault Molyneux, I don't know why we can't fault them. Like, I mean, this is the exact same thing. The only difference is that what was in Fable at the very least was more or less worth $60.
I mean, Jeff's gotten 20 hours out of it, so...
And I don't think that they should not be allowed to sell this at $60. It's obviously selling at that price point.
You can sell whatever you want, but I believe that the $60 fed into the backlash that they're receiving now. Because if it had been $30, we wouldn't be in the, they would not be anywhere in the mess that they are now. Because then everyone, it would be an indie darling instead of a AAA game with, or a AAA game in quotes, filled with, like, indie level delivery.
I guess, but at the same time, for all the things that we're nitpicking here, I actually like playing it. So. And I'm getting hours out of it, so. I will say that the exhilaration of the first, I'd say from hour 2 through hour 10, I was like, wow, like, I'm really into this. And then at some point you're like, oh man, that's it. There's nothing more. This is gonna be the same thing forever.
And
so, I don't know.
The loop is so short.
The loop is done on the first planet.
Yeah. And that's the problem, is because, like, then once you leave, there's nothing else there.
I mean, outside, like, I am enjoying going from planet to planet, and, like, I'm on... What was that, Fozzie?
What? Am I here?
Yes.
You hear me?
Yeah.
You kind of moaned for a second.
What are you doing over there, Fozzie? What's this moaning about?
Pizza. It's coming, but
okay.
It's not.
Yeah, baby.
Let me meet that Mark again. 1 second.
I'm on my third planet, and I am. It's not much different than what Tony watched me do, where it was, I would get out of my ship and I'd walk to the nearest question mark, and then another question mark would pop up, and I'd walk to that one, and they're all the same. Nothing different about it.
It's not
it,
like you but, got there and did something different. Like right, it was a battle. What, or you met somebody and they were interesting or whatever.
Absolutely. There's an article on Polygon. I don't remember who it was, but like the salient quote from that was like, hey, if you're playing the game and you need item upgrades, just search for shelters on all the planets and there'll be a little thing in there that you can find item upgrades is. And he's like, my biggest problem with the game is like no matter how far you go in the galaxy, in all these different planets, there will always be a shelter that always has an item upgrade. Like, the game is just built in that way to sets of things that will be there no matter what. And I get that maybe you want to include enough resources that the player isn't stranded on their planet anymore, but, like, the variety seems so slim that it's not even, like, a roguelike level of variety. It's like, spore levels of variety, you know, not to bring that comparison back, but
there is a the level of variety in it is how annoying the experience of exploring can be. Because my first planet, there was zero danger, so I had no annoyances exploring, and then the second planet, it was cold, so I had
Napoleon Bonaparte.
Yes, Napoleon Bonaparte is the name of that planet. Tony convinced me to name it that.
It was Napoleon's birthday. What else
did you
do?
It was when we found it. It was.
Awesome.
And so it was cold, so I had to kind of like rush from location to location to maintain my heat. And now that this new planet I'm on, there's a radiation problem, like it's a little too radiated, so same thing where I have to kind of keep recharging my suit to keep it going. But now I've gotten to a point where, at least in the cold one, where I was kind of going from shelter to shelter, and like there was some sort of risk there. With the radiation one, I just have enough resources that I just power that up and keep walking to the next question mark.
Yeah,
scanning everything in the way.
Like, I feel like this will be an amazing game full of amazing stories in, like, 2 years. That's if Hello Games doesn't, like, if that's if they continue to work on it. But, I mean, like, what I was hoping is, like, it would be a game where, like, players, you would see stories on places like Kotaku of, like, this player who discovered this planet that had this really unique and special, like, weird thing on it. And, like, that's, I think, part of the promise I think people were looking for.
The like, animals are all like spore level wonky creatures.
Yeah, right? Well, and like originally there was, everyone was like searching for the giant sandworm, the giant sand snake, right? That was shown in like almost the, like one of the latest trailers in the game. And then So everyone was like, it's like a race to find the snake, and then it's like, oh yeah, somebody just data mined the game and discovered it's not even in there. So. It's like, yeah, why isn't there anything cool like at that in the game? And I imagine like as the time goes on and they add on the free DLC, there will be more like things put into the Excel sheet that break up
free,
the variety.
By the way, free, did you see he kind of walked back?
Yeah, it might not be free anymore.
Well, and so the funny thing is that I actually shot that comment over to Austin Walker and Patrick Klepek at Vice, because they wrote an article about the very same thing, and I was like, And they were like, yeah, he's saying if it's like an ambitious, like, hey, here are like whole new quest lines and expansion level things. He's like, but other more like variety shaped things should be just in patch notes and stuff. Like, hey, here's now a blue shader for this.
I'm not entirely sure why we're taking anything he says at face value, though.
Right.
What credibility does
that
have?
Honestly, I don't know. I think that adding more variety to it could be the trick. I mean, that's all you might really need. Like, I don't need a storyline for this. I enjoy exploring it. Like, I'll be honest, I still like interested about finding a new planet. Like, that's always cool. Like, all right, what's this gonna be? The problem is 95% of the time the planet is here's a bunch of rocks.
Exactly. Like, so, like,
and here's a desert. Like,
How has that kept your interest for so long, then?
Because you just never know what exactly it's going to be. Like, sometimes you get out.
You know what has kept my interest is the language stuff.
Even though it doesn't really affect anything.
That are cool.
But it does affect things when you're talking with aliens. Like, it'll fill in like what they're saying to you.
Like, yeah, but then you always have the panel on the right. Where it doesn't affect the panel on the right, I don't feel like, really.
No, the panel on the right always is giving you, like, a story. Like,
yeah,
so
like it tells you what they're saying.
I came across one on the space station where it was the alien guy is, like, he seems very agitated, and he thrusts his multi-tool at me.
Yeah.
So I took it. And, like, evidently that was bad, because then, like, the story after I took it, like, was that he abandoned his post, which is just weird because he stayed there, but
yeah,
it's neither here nor there. But, like, when you go up and talk to them, they start, like, there's a phrase that they say to you, and you're kind of trying to figure out what it means and then trying to correlate it with what is being given to you in the story box. So I actually do like going and getting the words and finding out about the alien race the current alien race that I'm dealing with. So, evidently there are multiple alien races.
There's four.
Okay.
Yeah. But like the language stuff would be cool if like there was a quest, nothing story-based, like if at the end you got a cool item or you just completed what was like basically a short story in there, you know, like, but learning the language helped you reach something like that.
Right.
Like, what if there was a space station you got on and it was just abandoned, like, almost like the movie Alien had happened on it or something like that. And I think, like, these little things were what were looking, like, these scenarios almost.
There are weird little, like, I came across a shelter that, like, something bad happened in it. Like, there was all sorts of, like, this growth on it, like, this tissue growth. And
I feel like everyone's found that one, because I saw that on, I think that's part of the beginning of the game in some way, because I feel like in the Let's Play I watched that in there, too.
You will see that again and again. It's nothing.
It's like it was cool though. Like the first time you see it, like if it's going to keep going up, like on different planets, because like because this actually happened on the third planet, just like a random shelter I came across, and that was neat. Like, holy shit! Like this is something different. All right, what's going on here? And you get a little story bit on like what might have happened there and how you feel at the time. And
it just, how did you feel, Chris? How did you?
I'm confused.
Fair enough.
It needs just a little bit more of that. And then, like, what if you went to a, like, what if you finally found a planet that had fucking cities in it with skyscrapers and ships flying all around? Oh. I would shit my pants at this
speaking
point.
Speaking of ships flying all happen. Around.
Yeah.
So I'm on the first planet, and I didn't make it anywhere. Like, I I found this beacon that told me there was an alien, an advanced alien life form on the planet, and I kind of cut it off for the day. And then when I came back in to the game, there were like ships flying around in the sky, and I'm like, holy shit, like there's other players here. And no, nope. No, they're not. And also I'm on some sort of like inhabited planet, but not really inhabited, but
because there's no cities or shelters or anything, right.
Yeah.
That makes it look inhabited.
And that, like the like it almost just like some sort of weird genocide happened across the entirety of existence.
And there's only 7 people on each planet.
Yeah, like and I don't necessarily expect that level of interaction because like of like, you know, cities and planets on these planets, because I mean like there are only 15 people and I get that. And but even like because I mean all the stories conveyed through writing anyway, so how hard would it have been to have built just a couple of like almost FTL level scenarios that just sort of convey some not purpose, because I get that probably the whole theme of the game is the lack of purpose in, you know, the larger galaxy and stuff, but like then you're just doing nothing for the purpose of doing nothing over and over and over again.
Possibly.
I would kind of be okay with that, though, if what I found was different more. Like, yeah. There's the same buildings on every planet. Like I said, what if you went on a planet and there was a city? What if you went on a planet and it looked like a fucking post-apocalyptic wasteland and there's, like, abandoned amusement parks and shit like that? Like, just for you to look around at and share with people online, like, look what I found. This is crazy.
Well, this is the problem with the game, though. It's designed using this procedurally generated procedure.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't go through and design any of these planets. That's why none of them are cool and interesting.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this one's pink, this one's blue, this one's orange, this one's
red. It's like they took a palette of whatever like options that they had, and they just generated it 16 quadrillion times. And
yeah.
18 quintillion, actually.
Yeah, whatever it's supposed to be.
That bullshit number.
Some made-up fucking number, yeah.
Like, I actually think that procedural generation, like, shot them in the foot. Like,
right, it's the problem.
Like, I think, or if they had made the amount of, like, planets smaller, so, like, the variation didn't have to be so generic that it seemed like everyone was always finding the same thing.
Or have planets that don't have anything.
Yeah, like a barren rock wouldn't even be cool. Like how sad is that? That just seeing like something that looked like the moon that we have, that has nothing on it, just craters, would be the most amazing thing we've ever seen in that game right now.
Like because you get there and it's like, oh well, here's a weird kind of dinosaur looking creature, here's a cat lizard thing,
and here's something with a watermelon for its head.
Yeah. Here's a Goomba.
Yeah,
I was attacked by one of them today. That was weird.
Did you jump on it?
I wish I did. Like, you can't. Oh, and the combat is terrible.
Oh yeah,
it's so bad. Like I didn't even like. I'm just trying to shoot things, and it's like this does not feel like a good shooter. And I understand that it's not supposed to feel like a good shooter, but it's pretty bad in that regard.
But they did throw in that shit for like, I guess it gives it some variety. Like shit happens, you got those stupid ass sentinels and like, but like I would be happy if there were no sentinels. Like I don't know. Like
yeah, because they're annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
they're
like,
more just being nuisances. Ass, it seems like.
Yeah.
Because it's like you can't. You need materials to, you know, kind of like fuel your ship and keep yourself alive. But if you mine too many of them in one location, like they get angry at you and will attack. And then like they're not hard to beat. They're just annoying. So you either run away from them, which I finally did find that there is a run button. That was weird. Yeah. It's on the right stick. You have to click it in as you're moving.
Doesn't make sense at all.
No.
There's a. What was I listening to? The Beastcast.
Fozzie, you've been.
Somebody was saying that
I need to hear your rant, Fozzie.
Well, you guys aren't letting me talk. Well, go ahead.
You've been muted the whole time. Something about pizza.
Yeah, I keep seeing your microphone up with a thing through it.
All right, Pete, what were you saying about the Beastcast, though?
Oh, they mentioned something about the sprint thing, that there's a way to with the accessibility options in the like the main menu of the not main menu but like the PSN menu to like rebind it in there or something so it's less stiff.
But you have to pretend to be a handicapped person.
Yeah, which I mean that would be fine. Except now, like, I'm used to, like, that was the problem, is, like, when you press in the left stick, it kind of sends out this sensor pulse from you. So I'm like, how do you run? I'm pressing all the buttons, and I just happened to press in the right button, the right stick today, and he started running. I'm like, what the fuck? This is so unintuitive. Yeah.
Which makes a question if there are actually people that have ever played a game in their life before.
I mean, they made two games before that, right? They made both the Joe Danger games.
Joe Danger. Yeah.
Joe, well, there wasn't a boost in that one, right? So.
I don't know. Jeff Fozzie, how do you feel about the flying?
I like it.
Yeah. I like going back and forth between plants. Part of my rant would be part of just. In fact, that like it's so demanding as far as the thrusters and everything like that makes it completely unintuitive.
You kind of like gotta twist your hand into a pretzel when you're flying from planet to planet. Like
that's true too. Yeah, it's yeah. I don't know. For me, the flying is it's okay. I guess it's not as cool as I thought it would be, but. Still, it's fine.
It's overly simplified, which I appreciate from Elite Dangerous. Which, like, that game's super complicated.
I love that about it.
Kind of, this is like a scaled down version of that game, though. Space trucking type.
And here's the thing. I guess I'll just go out. And so with the flying, for example, with the planet, I see something that's like 2 minutes away, right?
Mm-hmm.
First off, the running is not very fun. The jetpack is not super great. And so I don't really get excited to run 2 minutes that way.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So instead of like making it like, okay, I could just get my ship and I can fly over there, like, that would be fun, like, to be able to be like, oh, there's something over there, it's a couple minutes away, let me get my ship real quick and I'll go over there and I'll fly there, like, okay. Except the fact that every time you land and then boost back up, it takes away 25% of your fucking
thrusters. Yep.
I still do that though, Fozzie. I fucking fly to anything. It could say I'm a minute and a half walk away, I'll fly over to
I don't give a fuck. And I don't know kind of what their thought process was, whether it
it's
was...
It's why I walk everywhere in that game.
Yeah. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind, like, okay, I see something off in the distance, I'll walk there. But when I have to, when there's something that's obviously not, like, you know, anywhere close to me, I want to be able to fly there. And I think that's one of the big issues with this game is that the, you know, limited amount of space that you have with your inventory for both your ship and your suit, it doesn't really give you incentive. So what I end up doing is I just go to a planet, check out a couple things, and I leave. You know, I leave that thing relatively barren, or not barren, just not explored at all, because I just don't want to walk. I don't want to look for these minerals constantly, you know. So you know, I can understand if I'm going from planet to planet. I would have preferred, like, that be more of a strenuous thing on my, you know, on my materials or minerals than boosting up. Like, to me, it's insane that the booster takes up 25% every time, and then I can go 2 billion miles somewhere else, and it's right. Like, here's 10 carbon that took you to get there, but it's like 100 carbon to get up from the fucking air. So, like, you know, and then the fucking robots are looking at you. They're on every fucking planet. So it's like, oh, I have to stick around the robots. And so it's almost like this game is trying to challenge you as far as this isn't a fun game, but let's see how long these people will play it. And then another thing with this fucking game is that the fact that they delayed it so many times. And I would give them a free pass on, like, some bugs. I don't expect the game to be perfect. You know, no game really is. But
The fact that it crashes 50% of the time I try to load this fucking game. The fact that my ship is just hanging out in the, you know, and I have to use my jetpack to get up there. I mean,
oh my god, yes. So I landed on a tree.
Yeah, I did too.
On a tree, but like it wouldn't land because there was a tree in the way. So I cut the tree down, but my ship stayed in the air.
My ship, when I landed, like it, you know how it like lets you out. And I'm like, oh god, I just took like half my health
yeah.
went down.
Yeah, your shield.
Like, what happened?
Because you.
And I look up. I'm like, 30 feet. My ship's up there. Okay, so it's. I don't know. Like I knew what I was getting myself into. I knew it wasn't the game that I wanted in 2014, and I knew that this was going to be a peaceful game that I could come back to, you know, every month or so, and be like, ah, I want to check out a new planet. I want to check out a new universe. Wasn't something I was going to get. You know, wasn't something I was going to finish in a week. But just, you know, and also the base building, these things that they keep promising, they're like, oh yeah, next year we'll have base building or whatever it may be. So then what's the point of me going out away from my home planet?
Right.
If you're going to like build stuff, I want to build on my home planet. So what would be the incentive for me to go to a different area and try and explore that when it's already so tough to go from star system to star system. So, and I was really hoping that at least your star planet, like when I fucking played the game, like when I first came out, I was so excited and I looked at my planet, I was like, this is kind of shitty. Like, I just wish that it kind of maybe didn't have to show everything, but like just a nice planet. Like, everyone should start on like a nice planet that, you know, had some really cool stuff to look at.
I started on a nice planet.
You did. Well, mine was like, it was like just gloomy and gray and everything was just like really kind of shit. And I was like, ugh, like, but I want to make this my home planet. This is my home planet. So, I don't know. Yeah. It's just not a great game. And all the delays, that's the thing that upsets me the most. What were they doing? What were they doing for this year? I feel like it was the same game it was going to be a year ago. So.
And the messaging they've been giving is so all over the place. Or it's like, oh, well, it's not a multiplayer game, but you will be able to see other people. And then.
Right. And so what's even the point? They're like, you'll probably never see anyone, but here's 18 trillion.
But immediately people found each other and they weren't able to see each other. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like the first day.
Yeah,
like two friends found each other,
and they couldn't see each other. It was like an invisible spot in the universe.
Like they could see the effects that were going on, right? But they couldn't actually see the person.
I don't even think they could see that. They couldn't see the changes that the other person was making to the
okay.
point.
That's crazy.
So,
No Man's Sky.
Yeah, it's
No Man should play Sky.
I still think it's a good, like, chill game to play, like, I don't know. Like, you can play it fucking totally fucking wasted, and it's fine, because you don't have to remember what you were doing. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, it is a relaxing game, I'd say, after you get over the hump of, like, oh, fuck, I'm gonna die. Like, once you have your resources going, you're pretty okay. I don't know.
I don't think it's gonna be anything that people talk about during Game of the Year time. I think it'll be, accepting... Perhaps
no.
Yeah, it'll or something like that.
It might be on my bottom top 10. But here's the thing, Hefe. It's like, if I was able to, like, just stock up on items and, like, not have to worry about, like, collecting anything, like, just, like, spend, like, 2 hours collecting. But the game won't allow me to do that. It's very just, okay, here's a few minerals. You're already over capacity. Like, fuck off. Like,
I don't know, dude. I was playing one night, I was in a hangout with, like, Aaron and some people, and I was just fucking stoned flying in my ship over a planet. Like, that's all I was doing, just looking around as a boat, like, doing nothing, but it was kind of interesting. And I'd see something like, oh, I'll go down there and see what that is. It's all the same shit, but still.
I mean, I enjoy going in, like, discovering the shit and renaming it and, I'll probably continue to play it for a while. I don't know if I'll ever reach the center of the galaxy.
It's one of those games where, you know, it's just too overhyped.
It's a good background game.
Yeah, it's. I think it's like it's
you play it in the background of all your other games that are
change of pace game, right? Like
that's exactly that is what I wanted out of this game. Anyways, it's just that you know when I go back, I'm like, oh shit, I have to collect more stuff to get off this fucking planet. Or, I mean, I know, it's part of the exploration and everything, but I just wish that there was some like especially the planet thing, like. Using the thrusters and it's 25% is
stock up your plutonium, dude.
Plutonium's hard to find, my friend.
It's everywhere.
No, it's not.
It is literally everywhere. Those little red crystals, man. You just gotta look.
I think you're making excuses for this game.
I think he is too.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's that?
It's okay.
Oh. I saw no redeeming value. I watched Chris for 4 hours. I'm like, why is he playing?
I will say this, dude. I don't think it's a fun game to watch at all. Like, I'd say I watched 45 minutes of it the day it launched. Someone was playing it, and I was like, fuck this. This looks boring.
There's nothing
shit
going on. Yeah, it's
yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Like, as yeah, there's no action. There's no
nothing. There's nothing to watch.
I mean, it makes you wonder how they managed.
It is more
fun
to play than it is to watch, Tony.
That they sold the game on promises and words alone, and like, because I mean, I remember for the longest time there was no actual like footage of this game out there. It was just like trailers and concepts and stuff. But, like, could you imagine if they had sat down and had like a Twitch like press thing?
Right. You know? Let me show you how this game works, and everybody goes, ugh.
And in 8 hours, they would have lost all of their sales instantly.
Well, and it does a great job when you start of like just like this is weird, what's going on? So that first hour is actually pretty intriguing, even if like what you're doing isn't engaging, it's you're confused by everything, so it's seems pretty cool, but then you realize very quickly that there's nothing much after that. So all these people that have played it before it came out, that's what they were getting, was like that opening experience of like, all right, I'm crash landed. I gotta get these minerals. I gotta like go and like get off this planet and fly to another one. Oh, demo's over.
And for the first 10 hours or so, you don't realize that the buildings that you find are gonna be the same on every planet. So the first time you find a drop pod, you're like, oh, that's cool. You don't realize that's the same thing repeated.
There's gonna be 27 more drop
times
pods next 10 hours, and I will say that like I came across this lake, which, speaking of the bugs, but anyway, I came across this lake, and it had fish in it, and there was also this giant, angry fish, and I had to get to the bottom of the lake because there was a beacon there. There was supposed to be a beacon there. So I had to kill this giant, like, shark thing before going into the water. But then I got to the beacon, and there was nothing there. That was a little annoying. And I've come across other beacons where, like, the shelter's been buried. Like, it looks like it's clipped into the environment. So, like, some weird bugs with it. Probably just because, like, you know, when you procedurally generate everything, things are going to go wrong somewhere. But
Chris, I do think that quote should be on the box for the game. And there was nothing there.
I mean, that pretty much defines the entire game, right? And, like, the answers to its promises.
Yeah. I keep saying this, but as much as we're, like, kind of ripping on it, it does, like, I do find it relaxing. I'm actually starting to play it right now. Like, it's something you could do in the background very easily.
It is, like, you know, oh, I'm just going to sit down and wander this planet for a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Like an interactive screensaver?
No, I mean, like, you're moving, doing something.
Sure.
Every once in a while, you're picking up thamium or, you know, shooting a couple red crystals or green crystals and getting some plutonium or gold so you can sell it later. But there was an article on Polygon today. I think Ben Kuchera wrote it, so, you know, that speaks a lot to this, but he was saying that he thinks that this is like the next Destiny, and I'm like, Destiny had more going for it. when it launched.
It's so weird that this is the world we live in now, where at launch, comparing the two games, Destiny somehow comes out ahead.
Yeah, there was more game. Not like there's more to explore in No Man's Sky, but there was more game in vanilla Destiny.
And yet there's somehow more to do in Destiny.
Well, at least for the first 10 hours.
Sure.
All right. Tony, you've been playing Madden.
Yes. Not a whole lot of Madden, because today's the first day that you can actually play Madden. But the game starts off, it throws you into what is the... sorry.
Jesus.
The first playoff game between the now Los Angeles Rams and the Washington Redskins. And you have to take Jared Goff and lead the team down the field for the game-winning touchdown, which is cool. Then it throws you kind of similar to last year into the like the trainer that shows you how to use all the new features for this year.
Okay.
So they've added some interesting stuff. I guess the biggest thing is there are a ton more defensive plays this year to call. In the past, Madden has only had like four or five different kinds of zone defense you could call, you know, cover two, cover three,
right.
Cover four. Now there's like 13. So there's a whole lot of defensive options. They've also changed how tackling works. So when you move a player up to another player, there's like a tackling battle, and the game will throw up this... It's almost like a it'll throw up like a button, like A or Y, and you have to hit that button a bunch of times, and you never know what button's going to come up. And if you win the battle, then you'll win the tackle, or if you're the runner, you'll actually break the tackle, which is kind of cool. I messed around with franchise mode for a little while. There's a practice squad this year. They've never had practice squad before, so that's kind of cool. You have a place to stash those players that you might have cut in previous years.
Cut, right?
Also, the last year you'd have like this every week in franchise mode, you would have the option of either giving some of your players a little boost of experience, or you could play through some drills. Now this year, every week you can do both. So they didn't like limit the hour number, so you can choose three players that you want to give special time to, and those players will get more experience. So if you want to, like, you know, make your prospects better or whatever. And then you'll get to select an offensive and a defensive, like, play focus. And it will tell you which focuses will work best against the opponent that you're facing that week. And then you'll run through two rounds of practice drills for each focus. The first one will teach you, like, how to see what the, like, how to identify which is the key player on the defense that you need to look at for this particular play. And then the next set will see how successful you are at identifying it and actually run the plays. And then when you run those plays during the game, you'll get like bonuses. So it's kind of cool. You can pre-game to face your opponents. I played through the first half of one game. I kind of wanted to restart because I accidentally skipped the preseason. But I played through the first half of game, and they've dumped the announcing team from last year. So they have their own
like custom team, right? Like that they put together specifically.
Yeah, that they put together specifically for this, so they can bring them in during the season and like update the commentary. So one of the first things the games did was download more commentary.
That's cool.
So they kind of adapt as the game is going along and say interesting stuff. And in the first game, like, and it's the first game for this new announcing team, which was kind of cool. I'm just hoping, beyond hope, that they don't make as many mistakes as they did in the previous teams, in the previous years, where they would like say, like, and it's a first down, and the player had dropped the pass.
Yeah. Or I loved getting the commentary, you know, that was the first down of the game for this team. It's like, it was my ninth.
Yeah, right. So,
Madden. It's that means it's video game season.
Yes, Madden is the kickoff. So
I thought it was No Man's Sky.
No.
No.
That's not a video game.
That's not a game.
That's a walking.
By the way, you know how you guys are saying you'd like to find a planet with absolutely nothing on it? I've just found that.
It's just nothing. A barren rock.
Well, there's probably like all the usual buildings, but it literally said when I landed, lifeless planet.
Oh, so that's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it should also not have settlements and stuff, but.
Yeah, right, but it does, here's the one thing I like about it. Fucking gold everywhere, boys.
Gold. So it's a mining planet.
Jeff ain't nothing but a gold digger.
Yeah.
You guys been playing anything else for the last week or so?
Nah.
New episode of Hitman came out, but I haven't played it yet.
I haven't played it either.
The Bangkok episode.
Bangkok.
It looks good. That game is very good.
That game is so underappreciated this year. No one talks about it.
If you listen to the Idle Thumbs podcast, they talk about it all the time. So that's the one place that I get all of my information.
And that's the thing is, like, a lot of reviewers, like, good reviewers out there that love that game, but, like, just none of my friends, like, play it. I don't know.
I think it's a great way to release that game, too, because...
Oh, it's fantastic.
Go in, you get, like, it's an excellent use of episodic...
It delivery. Is. Yeah. I wish it was, like, my dream of episodic games is still, like, okay, here's a set date.
We'll like a TV that. Show, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, a month and a half in between, they put out so much content. The elusive target system is so much fun in between. So, it's, yeah. it's a great game that everyone should play. Everyone.
I played a little more Pokemon Go when I was on vacation.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more I'm gonna play because I got a Pikachu, so I hear that once you get that, you're done. You know,
pretty much.
No, that's not true.
I haven't touched it in weeks.
I don't know. So we were on vacation. My son was playing, and there was it was weird because there was three gyms, but only two Pokestops. On the resort we were at, so we were walking between the two pretty often. And we at one point there was my son knows what they are based on the silhouette, so he was like, "There's a Kingler somewhere," mm-hmm. And we then wandered through the woods till we found it. But I got a bunch of new Pokemon and. Went up a few levels, and but now that I'm back home, it's not quite as much fun. So, but yeah, I had enough EVs that I now have all of the evolutions that EV can have.
Dang, I don't even have that.
Well, once you get the like, I use the nickname trick to. To make sure I got them all.
Yeah, my son was telling me about that. He's like, if you do this, like, you'll get this. And I didn't do that, and I ended up with all three anyway. But yeah, he's like been watching like YouTube videos, and he's quite excited to try like the actual Pokemon game coming out this fall. So that'll be interesting. See how he likes that. But yeah, I don't know how much more I'm going to play of it, because now I'm home and like can't actually walk to a Pokestop here, so...
That's insanity, dude. I don't understand that. That's so weird.
I mean, there's just not much... There's a bunch of houses, but there's nothing around. It's just houses, like, so...
You don't have, like little parks or, like, I don't know, restaurants or whatever the fuck? Like, dude, I have a Pokestop. I mean, that's a fucking liquor store.
Yes, like if I go, but like I have to drive there because it's not within walking distance. Yeah. Like nothing's
you could,
within
you
walking.
You can play distance. While driving. It's alright.
You just have to click now because there does a pop up does come up now. You're going too fast.
Yeah. No, but like literally, I have a park. I have a park one block down from me that has a Pokestop, and then in the other direction, I have a disc golf course like two blocks away from me in the other direction that has like. That one has like 4 or 5 Pokestops. Like the different holes on the course are Pokestops. Like they're fucking everywhere. I live in like pretty fucking rural area. Like I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, so we were actually in the city on Sunday, and there are Pokestops and gyms, like literally like to a corner. Like, everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, you bring up the map, and they're just all over the place. But once you get back up, out into the suburbs of Philly, like, it decreases a lot.
You must have not had much of Ingress players in your fucking town, because that's what it's all based on, you know, all the Pokestops. Well,
but it's also, like, there's literally nowhere to walk to, like, where I live. Like, you have to...
So weird.
Like, it's a 5-minute drive to the pizza shop, like the closest pizza shop. So like
it's
like a 15-20 minute walk. So like the closest thing that I could walk to is the post office, and that's like still like a 10-minute walk away. So
oh, you need to get your exercise, man.
I'm not hanging out. So there's like zero sidewalks going there. So next week, Deus Ex. Mankind
Divided. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. And Madden, which Tony's already been playing. But, Pete, we got any news this week?
Yes, we do. It just so happens that this week is the week of Gamescom.
It is, yes.
So I have picked a selection of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stories, 3 of which are for the same game.
Okay.
What's
the game?
Overwatch.
Oh, we like Overwatch. I like Overwatch.
So there's a new map.
Yes, that map looks cool.
Castle map. It's a German name, so I have no idea how to pronounce it. And I'm not going to try. It looks to be a payload to capture point. So you will bring this battering ram to the front of the main castle, where you will break down the door and then go and capture the throne room, based on the video that they showed.
Eichenwald.
Something like that, yeah. There's footage out there now. I think they've streamed actual gameplay of the map. That's piece one. Piece number two is... Oh, also included with that map is a release of a new Reinhardt skin, which is like his old like Kingsguard armor and stuff. Looks pretty awesome, actually. It's like a legendary level skin, so it actually changes his model. Instead of it just being a color skin change. Let's see. Then they released their new animated short for literally the worst character of all time, for Bastion, and it's fairly boring too. There's only one interesting part that shows like a flashback during the robot human war. Basically, that's part of Overwatch lore. It does. I don't know. I watched it and it was boring. But that's on YouTube. It's only like 7 minutes of nothing. And then Blizzard in their PTR, their public test realm, they put out a new patch that they're testing for the main game. And one of the features is that they anytime somebody puts says GG easy, like. Good game, it was easy or something like that. Yeah, it replaces all of their dialogue with like, it replaces that saying with like things like I'm really insecure or like.
So basically, this goes way back in online games. You'd always say GG, it's good game at the end.
Yeah.
And to make fun of the other team, you throw that easy in there, like good game, it was easy because you said. So now it just switches to something making fun of the person who says it.
So here's some of them are like the exact opposite, but some of them are like making fun of the person who's saying it. One is like, I'm wrestling with some insecurities in my life, but thank you all for playing with me. The other is it's past my bedtime, please don't tell my mommy. And the other one is, I feel very, very small, please hold me.
Oh, Blizzard.
So, there's also some balance changes coming in. Mostly a lot of nerfs for Genji because he was an auto pick and competitive and everybody hated him.
Is Genji the one with the stars?
Yeah, the ninja.
Yeah, he's annoying.
Yes. So, he's getting some nerfs. And May and Mercy are getting some buffs, but those are they're minor compared to everything else there. So that's the Overwatch news. There's new trailers for Resident Evil 7 and Yooka-Laylee. There's also 13 minutes of that rare boat game that I can't remember the name of.
Sea of Thieves.
Sea of Thieves, yeah, that's out there too. And then the biggest news is that Konami decided that the next Metal Gear game would not, in fact, be a pachinko machine. It would instead be something we've always wanted, which is a four-player co-op game involving zombies.
Yeah.
Never had one of those before.
Called Metal Gear Solid Survive. It involves... it takes place in canon between the events of Ground Zeroes and Phantom Pain, where members of the Diamond Dogs get sucked into a portal that puts them in an alternate dimension. Fozzie's just left us. That isn't part of the game, but that's just something I just noticed.
Yes.
Which is sad, because he was the only one who on Twitter was like, I'll wait and see what it looks like before I judge.
I will, too. Like, I want to see what the game is.
You know what it reminds me and apparently everybody else of is Umbrella Corps.
Yes.
It's just like... But yeah, so there's no characters from the main game in it. It is Metal Gear in name only. They're like, yeah, we'll try and put some stealth stuff in it, but we also want to make it fun for people to play together. So, you know, we'll have like rocket launchers and flaming arrows and stuff like that.
So Metal Gear.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a thing. But yeah, Gamescom pretty low key. No press conferences this year.
I don't know if this was touched on last week at all. I mean, it was just a Tony and Dom, but Final Fantasy 15 was delayed.
Oh yeah, you're right. I forgot to put that in there. I didn't know if it. Yeah, I had assumed for some reason. Yeah, 2 months, almost exactly.
Yeah, it was like goes from September 29th to like the end of November or something. So
yeah, actually November 29th is a Tuesday, so that's probably where they put it. But yeah, and they were like, yeah, we don't want to put a day one patch on it and stuff.
We'll probably still have a day one patch, but
oh yeah.
We'll see. Yeah.
Just a little funny note. So included in the with the new map is a bunch of new emotes. And one of the new emotes for the characters for D.Va is basically, I don't know if you guys have been seeing any of the fan art for the game of what's been referred to as Gremlin D.Va.
Yes.
Okay. So she's like covered in the Mountain Dew and like the Doritos and she streams games and stuff. One of her emotes is that exactly.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
So it's like one. It's like it's the largest mention of them, like inclusion of like the fandom's perception of a character. I believe that Soldier 76
screen up and
yeah, she's playing like Galaga or something. It looks like something similar.
And then there's like a off-brand Mountain Dew on the one side and a bag of Doritos, off-brand Doritos on the other side.
Yeah, it's so good. I like to think that their golf skin for Soldier 76 is in part reference to the dad culture that has started to surround him, because it's just ridiculous looking.
Yeah.
But, and I also don't believe that Mercy and Pharah weekly brawl was a mistake either. That was very intentional, I believe. But yeah, some fun stuff coming out of them. Zarya has been added to Heroes of the Storm. That was the only non-Overwatch news I saw there. I mean, Legion's coming out in like a week, so there'll be a bunch of
A bunch of Warcraft news.
There.
So.
There was the other thing that happened outside of Gamescom was that Korean press started publishing something involving a HD StarCraft release, like original.
I did hear about that
and stuff, which would be cool, because apparently a lot of the competitive scene in Korea is reverting back to Brood War anyways, because StarCraft 2 has just not taken off in a way that they wanted there. And so even with the balance changes that will be coming in November, the game is just stagnating and has been losing viewership steadily over time. If they remake Brood War, I think that would be cool. Update the graphics, keep the mechanics, and stuff like that. That would be... I think a good way to sort of help revitalize StarCraft in the esports scene.
Could be.
But imagine if, like, BlizzCon is the place to announce that.
When is that? November?
Yeah, November 11th to the 12th. It's 2 days, yeah. That seems like the kind of thing that they would announce at their opening ceremony, where they do all their announcements, and then they're like, hey, by the way, you can play a mission of it at our StarCraft II booth, or something like that, you know. Let's see. A couple other remaster news. Mass Effect seems to be getting remasters. I don't know. There were just a bunch of headlines.
EA is contemplating it. So,
I mean, I would like them to actually finish the new game first, you know.
Well, I mean, but BioWare's probably not going to actually do the remasters themselves. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, if they were, I don't know. I don't know if I care about those old games anymore. It just makes me want the new one.
I mean,
how dare you say that?
You also don't need to get it.
No, I know, but like, I guess, like, I feel those games are out there and they're available to play, right? I mean, I guess they're not on Xbox One and PS4, though they might be on via compatibility.
Mass Effect 1 is. Mass Effect 2 and 3 are not yet.
Okay. I see. Alright. Yeah, I mean, I never played 3, but that's because my save wouldn't carry over for some dumbass reason from Steam to Origin, so that was always frustrating. But, and then after the kerfuffle with the ending stuff, I was just like, no.
Yeah. It's a good game.
I like 2. What they need to do with 1 is just take out all of the vehicle sections and we'll be fine.
No.
Because the Mako is probably the worst thing I've ever had to drive in a video game ever.
It's not a good driving experience, but...
No. The Hammerhead is much better in Mass Effect 2 DLC, but... let's see. Nobody cares about Street Fighter, so I'm not going to actually talk about that. Below... The like 2D Dark Souls games that's been in development for 3 years now. We're not going to talk about it anymore until we're actually ready to release it.
No, that might be smart.
I agree. I mean, after the whole like there were some rumblings from people that like the whole like No Man's Sky kerfuffle kind of prompted them to be like, you know, why don't we just stop talking about this game forever until it's just in people's hands. That way we're not, like, over-promising and then things will change and stuff. And I think that that's actually a tactic that more people should adopt. Like, Bethesda's been pretty good about it. Like, hey, man, we don't talk about a game until 6 months before its release,
right, when
very little will change. And so the game that you see is exactly the game you're going to get.
All right.
There's another No Man's Sky patch. I have no idea what it includes, but it's version 1.04.
I think it's to make the game not crash as well.
Okay. Yeah. There are no patch notes from what I have seen out on the internet, at least as of yet.
Jeff, has it crashed for you at all?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, I haven't had any crashes yet.
Bozzy was saying it crashes on him all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then lastly, there will be a Titanfall 2 multiplayer test going on.
Yeah, yes. Starting tomorrow.
Yep, the 19th to the 21st, and then a week later, the 26th to the 28th.
Yep, and get some Titanfall 2 in.
Yeah, and I don't know what consoles that is on. Or
it's for like everybody, it's open.
Just on console.
Oh, yeah, it's open.
PS4 and Xbox One.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
But the invite friend button is broken, so don't count on that. Being able to play with people, you know.
So still, just play it to play it.
That's right. Play for love of Titanfall.
Yes.
And that's all the news I've got, if anyone wants to add anything else on.
I think that's it.
We got a question.
We do have a question. Let me bring that up.
I actually remembered this time.
Good, because I almost forgot. Sorry.
We kept talking about remasters, and I was like, oh, shit, the question has to do exactly with remasters. So.
Yeah, so our buddy Daxter wrote in. He said, what is our opinion on franchise reboots, And if necessary, how should they be handled?
I'm curious what he means by handled. Like, are we talking like, should they happen at all, or
how should they touch them?
How should they, like, what constitutes a reboot?
I think it as like, what's their approach?
Right.
I mean, I think a reboot is got to be like a So, what's the, in your guys' opinion, what is the difference between a remake and a reboot?
Well, see, like, I think Doom, the new Doom, that's a reboot, even though it's Doom 4. I think Ratchet and Clank, I kind of view that as like a reboot, like even though it's
no, similar. I don't take that as a reboot.
I think that's a remake. It's not.
That's what you
not,
said. You said it's basically the same fucking game.
It is, but they do change some things. Like the final boss is different. And,
I'd say that's somewhere in the middle. Like when I think of reboot, I think of Tomb Raider, like the new Tomb Raider.
Yes, that's a good one. Yes.
Yeah, and I guess like a remake is like Ocarina of Time for the 3DS, right? Like that's a no, that's a remaster.
Yeah,
it's a remake.
A remake is more. Like,
I'm trying to think if we've had any remakes. I guess maybe Ratchet.
Well,
would be
so close. I mean, like, I would say a remake is like Silent Hill Shattered Memories, almost, which is like the first game, like with the same characters in the same setting, with the technically with just a slightly twist on the story, or something like that. Because like,
would you give Resident Evil?
What do you mean?
Resident Evil 7? I was gonna say, would you say Resident Evil is? No, I'd say the GameCube one. Like that I'd say that's a remake.
That's a remake. Yeah,
that's a remake, yeah. Because like it's the same game more or less. Like same story, same characters, but like more gameplay. Like they like remade a bunch of areas in that game, like or like included more areas and more bosses in that version.
Right, but they weren't trying to reboot the franchise either.
Yeah.
So that's where I think Ratchet's weird. Is because it's a remake of the first game, but it's also trying to reboot the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And same with like Doom, I think I would consider that a reboot because they're trying to bring that franchise back into focus.
Yeah.
Hitman.
I don't know if Hitman's a reboot.
Is it really?
I don't know if that like. Does that count? Because it doesn't like have a story that takes place after the last game.
No, it takes place before everything.
Okay, so
well, the intro does.
Yeah, right. Like,
but the rest of the stuff is just sort of like scenario based stuff. Like, there's no like fitting it in the time.
There are cutscenes like that correspond to that. Like everything kind of falls around that intro, and you're continuing on there.
Now, here's a question. Is it a reboot just because it's a, like, wouldn't that just be a prequel then? Like, it doesn't, like, drastically change the makeup of Hitman, the story, the character, the gameplay, in a way that, like, Casino Royale was a reboot of James Bond because it went back and made him, like, a grittier, like, meaner version of the character.
Yeah, but I don't know if you have to change the character, change, like, it's just
well,
a matter
are you rebooting,
of
trying
to... trying to restart things over.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's only, like, what, 3 years in between Absolution and this game? Like, I'm not sure it's so much more of a reboot than a prequel.
But I
guess this is all semantics in the end.
Well, no. I think there are specific definitions for these terms.
Well, let me look at... let's see. What is reboot? What does...
But even though, let's say it's been only 3 years since
like
the last
Ghostbusters
game series,
in theaters was a reboot of that franchise.
Yes.
Yeah. Whereas a remaster is just, it's the same experience over again.
Right.
Exactly.
Yes.
Like Ocarina
of Time. I think you can have a reboot within, you know, 5 years of the last game coming out, or 3 years even, if the series is stagnated by the point of the last game where it was, like, losing interest and nobody really gave a fuck, and then you're like, all right, we're going to go back to the drawing board, redo this, like, reboot it. Like, so, I mean, I haven't played the new Hitman, but I can see people calling that a reboot. I don't know. Like, played it. So.
It's depending upon who you talk to. Absolution wasn't universally loved.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like it did, and now they came out with this one, and everyone's saying it's like fresh. Like,
yeah, I mean, I guess like in games, it's harder because it's not also a visual. Like, there's also, like, in movies, it's purely a visual reboot, but in, like, in games, it can also be, like, mechanical reboot.
Sure.
And stuff, and so maybe that's more of what Hitman is. Like it's the same character, he's still doing the same stuff, but the way it's presented and, like, the mechanics of it are different.
Like, God of War is it follows the it takes place after the original trilogy, but it is rebooting that franchise.
Yeah.
So no, do you consider like Force?
A reboot eliminates all the previous storyline. Like lineage.
Yeah, because then by that logic,
all that other stuff that happened in God of War, like it's bringing back the franchise. It's not a reboot though. Like, it's not like none of that other stuff ever happened.
Right, but in the world of this new God of War, that stuff doesn't really matter.
Well, it does.
It still happened.
And I think it's sort of why he's in the situation he's in now. Like, he completed his mission, so he went off to go do what he did before the opening of the new game.
Become an Ice King.
Indeed.
That's what I would do.
But I guess so with reboots, now that we haven't exactly established the definition of what it is, I think that they're fine. I think they're a good thing because it's better than like beating a dead horse. Like, you know, if something's not working, you know, take a fresh, you know, give it a fresh angle and something like that, you know, do something new and exciting with it. And for the most part, it's worked. I mean, you know, like we say with like, you know, Tomb Raider or Hitman, if that counts, and I don't have any problem with them. I think they're awesome, actually.
The part of the question, though, is he asks, like, how do you handle it? And, I mean, the best answer I could give to that is to figure out what is the core of that game, and then how do you make that core relevant in modern times? Right. And while many people would say Tomb Raider is a great example of that, I actually think that they stray from the core of what Tomb Raider is supposed to be, unfortunately. Like, I would think if you like do this new Tomb Raider with like these new great production values, but make it more like Tomb Raider. I don't know.
The problem is that you have to go back to the reason for the reboot, and the reason is that the Tomb Raider game sucked and people stopped buying them.
Yeah, but they didn't suck because of like
right. But
the changes they made
increased sales. Like it increased visibility. Like people wanted what they brought more.
Yeah, no, I.
So I don't think it's more about reaching back into what a series was based on or what it originally had. It's trying to find out what elements you need to add or change to make it relevant now. And maybe those elements that you more enjoy in a Tomb Raider game aren't what people want anymore.
But I think more of the problem with Tomb Raider is its production values at some point were way behind the times. It just looked like a fucking cheap game. You know what I mean? Like, I think that
and
was
played like one too.
Yeah. I mean, and don't get me wrong too. Like, you're right. Like, a game that's action oriented is going to sell, I think, more than what the core of Tomb Raider was. So, I can kind of see that, but I don't know. That's my best answer.
Another example of like a reboot, I think, is like Deus Ex, like Human Revolution, sure, compared to the original, in stuff like that. You know, like it kind of kept the core of what people liked about Deus Ex. You know, compared to Invisible War, at least. You know, you had the multiple angles. the cyberpunk like aesthetic and stuff, but it also did update like the actual moment-to-moment gameplay to a more modern age.
Does Human Revolution take place in, like, is it completely outside of the original two?
I have no idea. I think, right, with the exception of one single cutscene at the end credits of the game, if you complete a certain ending, a certain way, then yes. But I actually think that the second game, Mankind Divided, has just disavowed the rest of the thing. And like, because I think originally the ending of that game sort of set up the beginning of the first Deus Ex in like some weird way.
Hmm.
But yeah, I don't know how those tie into the other ones. I mean, yeah, I didn't pay much attention to that sort of stuff.
Carefully. That's yes, how you handle it.
Indeed.
There you go.
Yep. Also, it's complicated.
Deus Ex, guys, it's so close.
I know, I'm really excited. Is it next Tuesday? Is it literally it is. Next Tuesday?
Yeah.
Shit, man, I got...
Yeah,
I got,
dude.
Oh, shit, I might have gotten paid,
by
actually.
This time next week...
Jeff will be doing
it. We'll play it.
Yeah, I will...
Yeah,
I will be playing exactly. It, too. Oh, yes. Sweet, I did get paid. I like getting paid. Cool. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I've got the review on that, so I will definitely be...
all
we call
it
all up in that, yeah. Jeff, since you seem to play the most, I would definitely like a I don't know if you're going to review No Man's Sky, but I think it would be interesting, at least for for you and Fozzie and Chris to have like some roundtable debate review type thing. And if I were better at video editing, I think that would be the best way to present it. But maybe this podcast serves as that. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean. You want to know my review of No Man's Sky? Read any review of No Man's Sky. Because I kind of agree.
You know, but they all like, recommend don't buy it.
Polygon is right on the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but see, I would not say that. Like I am still having fun with it, but like they are 100% accurate in what they're saying in their reviews. Like, and if that sounds like you could deal with that, go for it. If not, fucking, you could safely avoid this and be fine.
I mean, we kind of talked this previously, but I think that loop, what the game offers, is way more palatable at like $30.
Exactly, and I think that
probably.
Like the price, the press, the developers, the publisher, like all of it sort of fed into this like symbiotic circle, like this Ouroboros that ate its own tail at some point, and
yeah, it didn't do itself any favors, like. Setting this up, so.
And I mean, hell, the machine worked. It sold a bunch. Now, whether or not that first week was enough to like, because after this, I can't necessarily say how if the game will continue to sell. Because I mean, like everywhere you look across the internet, there's backlash against this game. Like I mean, even if you're just hiding on Facebook, you're going to find some of that stuff on there.
Even if you weren't. Like following it, like, are you really going to skip Deus Ex? Are you going to skip Madden? Are you going to skip NHL? Are you going to skip Titanfall? Are you going to skip Battlefield 1? Or like all these get like, because there's a lot of games coming out over the next 4 months.
Yeah, buddy, Don, man, every once a week I check their review schedule, man. I hope he puts up September soon so I can jump on some shit.
Oh, that's my fault.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll trying to remember that tomorrow.
Funny little anecdote though. I have a friend who lives out here by me who he bought No Man's Sky, and I want to say the last game he bought was probably Battlefront. So
okay.
Like they're doing something where somehow this like sold to people. Like I don't know.
Well, yeah, they massive, sold it on a cloud. Basically, like I mean,
yeah,
the
I heard he played. I heard he played for an hour and hasn't touched it since.
Yeah,
oh God.
That's not shocking whatsoever.
This is what happened to people with the Nintendo Wii. This is like,
yep. Oh,
this looks so awesome,
and
they played for like 5 minutes. They're like, oh, this is so great.
I almost feel like if this game was handheld or portable in some way, it would actually be better received. Because like then you just like pop it open for a bus ride, mine a few resources, go to a new planet.
If I could play this on my Vita, it would be awesome. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't. Awesome is maybe stretching it, but it would make it like way easier to just kind of like pop open, do something, shut it down, move on.
Exactly. Yeah.
But like when I sit down at my TV and it's like, oh, I could boot up No Man's Sky, or I could play Overwatch for 90 minutes. Like. Or I could play Halo for an hour or anything.
I don't know. I've been stuck on this, and honestly, once I start playing it, like, a ridiculous amount of time passes, which really sucks.
So all my play sessions have been about 2 hours long with it. Like,
yeah, like minimum. And then, like,
I have to kind of like, all right, I got to stop because I got to go to bed or whatever. But
the worst for me is when the game crashes. I'm like, what am I doing with my life? Like, I break out of the spell of whatever I've been doing. Like, you are literally wasting your nights here playing this fucking game that's going nowhere. But
right, there's no end game, getting, there's no purpose, there's
you know what, though?
It's getting the story. You're just working
towards another word. It's getting me to Deus Ex, though.
Yeah.
It's tiding me over just nicely. Yeah.
All right, well, we'll be back next week with an in-depth talk on Deus Ex, probably some more Madden, and I'm gonna be playing Madden as well.
Yes, Deus Ex.
I think Fozzie will play some Madden, although I don't think he'll be here next week. So
no,
I feel like there's other stuff. I mean, I guess Titanfall 2, right? And you guys get to play that.
Oh yeah,
to that beta.
I'll be on that.
Because I think that both beta periods for that are going to be different. So.
Oh, okay. Like different modes or something.
Maps? different modes, different types of titans that are going to be available.
Different pilot abilities.
Yeah. So.
Sweet.
Different things to talk about over the next 2 weeks regarding that game.
Yes, there will be some stuff going up on the site. I'm trying to write a couple other things. I just put up a Hearthstone thingy.
Hearthstone article is up. Power rankings are up.
Yeah, but Tony just fucking left us.
We will have I have a pair of reviews I'm working on. One for Batman, and another one for like an indie adventure game. If Jeff doesn't write No Man's Sky, I may write something up on it. Tony's probably going to do a Madden review as well. So,
cool.
Stuff coming.
Yeah, I mean, right. It's about to get busy.
Yep. All right, guys. We'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.